Return, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. And now, here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, with Bert Gordon as the Mad Russian, Hazel Shermett as Miss Duffy, our guest, Rudy Valley, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Duffy's Tavern, where do you leave me to eat? Archie the man just faking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. How's business? The place is overflowing. Yep, the sewer's busted again. Yeah. Which reminds me, Rudy Valley's coming down tonight. Rudy Valley. Well, remember the time you bought your first radio and when you turned it on, you thought there was something wrong with it? Yeah, that's the guy. And how'd he get started? Well, he studied for 8 years before he found out he couldn't sing. By then it was too late to stop. Yes, sir, and he turned out to be very successful.
He what?
Did he save his money?
Duffy, did you hear that? Even the operator's laughing.
Duffy, at Yale, they used to have a song called Bula Bula. Since Valley went there, they call it Mula Mula. Well, look, I'll call you back. I'm busy writing a new radio show for Rudy.
Yes.
Hey, Miss Duffy.
Yes, Archie.
I wonder if Rudy will be happy here tonight in our creaky old joint.
Why not? He's a little creaky in the joints himself.
Miss Duffy, you're talking about the Rudy Valley.
Rudy Valley? Who's he? A sober Phil Harris.
Miss Duffy, please, have a little reverence for the departed. Don't forget, a guy like Rudy Valley gives us prestige here. Take a look at this menu I wrote up for the occasion.
Let me see it. Today only, the Rudy Valley Blue Plate, Connecticut Yankee Pot Roast, Vagabond Liver, New England Ham.
Yeah, it's boiled ham.
How do you know what condition he'll be in when he gets here?
Duffy, Rudy never gets in that condition, sir.
Say, Archie, a man just came in and dropped a penny in the peanut machine.
So what?
I think it must be Rudy Valley.
Well, why do you think it's Valley?
He's counting the peanuts.
That's right, it is Rudy Valley.
My time is your time.
Rudy, I'm glad to see you. Look at you. I can see that you're the same old Rudy.
What do you mean?
Well, the way you came in singing, so generous and unstinting with your talent, you know, singing for all mankind, whether they want to hear you or not.
A dubious compliment.
Well, dubious is as dubious does. And, may I further say that you are looking as handsome as ever and golden curly locks and that svelte, youthful figure. Them svelte eyes. By the way, speaking of them eyes of yours, Rudy, which side of the 38th parallel was you born on?
Archie, I shall ignore your insults. May I further say that you are the same old Archie?
That's a lousy insult.
Say, Archie.
Yeah?
I'd like to meet Rudy Valley.
Well, why the sudden interest? You've been saying that you're young enough to be his daughter.
So what? With Rudy Valley, anybody young enough to be his daughter is old enough to be his wife.
Well, okay, I'll introduce you. Rudy, I know you came down here tonight to enjoy yourself, but this is Miss Duffy.
Looks like a Harvard man.
Gee, just imagine. Rudy Valley in person.
That's right, my dear. You may now faint.
Oh, thank you. Rudy Valley. That voice. Those nostrils. Still the signs to dear old face. Just so the rift is weak.
Why, Miss Duffy, I didn't think you were old enough to remember the Maine sign song.
Are you kidding? This dame remembers the Maine.
Quiet, Archie. You know something, Mr. Valley? Last week I wrote to NBC for a picture of a star. Guess what?
What?
They sent me a picture of you.
Oh, framed?
I sure was. I wanted Cary Grant.
Miss Duffy, I am now going to say something to you that I've never said to a woman before.
Oh, really? What?
Graham.
If it wasn't for his age, I'd punch him right in the nose.
Get out of here, will you?
No, Archie. I assume that you had an ulterior motive in requesting my presence here tonight.
On the contrary, I did. Rudy, I got a great opportunity for you to make...
Money?
Well, it could run into it, Bess, but first tell me, how's your voice this century?
Oh, about the same as last.
Well, I got a radio program in mind that...
Would you like to hear me sing?
How Abbott. Well, go ahead. Let me hear how you sound these days.
Very well.
Terrific, Rudy. Still the same old Val.
I haven't sung yet.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'll give you the key.
All right.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy, nothing else would matter in this world today. We could go on loving in the same old way. A garden of Eden just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things to you. Such wonderful things to do if you were the only girl in the world and I were the only boy. Bravado, sheer bravado.
No? You sounded just like Carmen Lombardo.
Another dubious compliment.
That's what Carmen Lombardo said. But for radio, you know, just singing is old hat these days. You gotta augment it up with something else. You gotta be a singing cowboy or a singing disc jockey or a singing commercial, you know? That's where I got an idea for a frightening mystery. You are going to be a singing detective.
A singing detective?
Yep, sort of a combination Thin Man and Margaret Truman. As I told you, Rudy, it'll be really frightening.
But what about a sponsor?
Stop worrying. Duffy will sponsor it.
What about a script?
Stop worrying. It's already wrote.
Who wrote it?
Me.
It will be frightening.
Stop worrying, will you?
Well, what about the salary?
Rudy, stop worrying.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, we're going to do a rehearsal of the first episode of The Hummer. By the way, Howard Hull, you're the announcer here. I'd like you to read the commercials.
Oh, joy.
Now, with these commercials, you have to be subtle about them and kind of sneak them in.
Sneak them in?
Yeah. Okay, we're on the air. Ladies and gents of the radio audience, Duffy's Tavern brings you The Hummer, starring Rudy Vallee.
My crime is your crime.
Hello! A word from our sponsor.
Suckers.
Thank you. See the way they sneak them in? Now, we begin. I, Archie, am the Hummer's assistant. Him and me is a couple of private eyes, but we never cross each other. We are in our office, and the Hummer is sitting at his desk. Before him is a book of poetry and a bottle. The book is unopened. I speak. I say, Hummer, why don't you lay off of that poetry?
I can't help it. Me nerves is on edge. Why, I ain't the man I used to be. Archie, this grammar.
What's wrong with it?
The word ain't.
Look, Brody, a lot of people ain't using the word ain't, but they ain't eating. Now, continue. Now, we're sitting in our office when suddenly... Just a second. Hummer, what was that ring?
The telephone.
What a deduction. The man is positively psychopathiatric. Hello? What? Somebody's been murdered? Okay, we'll be right over. Let's go, Hummer.
What's the address?
Gazoops, I forgot to ask. Hello? Where? Oh, thanks. All right, leave us go, Hummer. Well, sir, we arrived at the scene of the crime. A mansion in Beverly Hills. Rococo, but simple. With a well-kept 9-hole golf course on a small island in the middle of the swimming pool. We rang the doorbell. Suddenly, the door creakingly opened, and we found ourselves face to face with something real sinister.
How do you do?
Tell me, sir, who are you?
I am Rasputin, the Chinese butler.
Well, I guess that clears you. Tell us, Rasputin, where is the late demented corpse?
There on the floor. The dead one. He's my master, Mr. Throckmorton. Forgive him for not rising.
Well, I'm going to leave us to examine the corpus collecti. Mm-hmm. Looks to me like he took poison internally.
Poison? Poison? Then how do you account for this large ice pick stuck in his back?
Hummer, you're a genius. Hummer, you're humming. Hummer, does this mean that you have found a clue?
Yes. Archie, remove your hat.
Why, is the dead man a woman?
No. He was a Yale man.
Amazing. Hummer, how can you tell that he was a Yale man?
Elementary, my dear Archie. Notice his attire. A derby hat and a raccoon coat.
Gazoot, as I see it, there's only one thing to do. Examine the ice pick.
What ice pick?
The one stuck in his back.
Oh, that one.
Just a minute, gentlemen. Before you examine the ice pick, I should like to wipe off my fingerprints.
A fair request.
One moment, my good man. Who are you?
Hummer, it's Rasputin, the Chinese butler that answered the door when we came in.
Oh, yes. I never forget a face.
Tell me, Rasputin, before the murder was committed, did you notice anything strange around the house?
Outside of me?
Yes.
Well, this morning, Mrs. Throckmorton The widow sent me out to have the ice pick sharpened. And as I am leaving, she is phoning the insurance company.
Words, words, words. We are looking for clues. Think. Think, my good man. Something unusual must have happened.
Well, let me see. The widow also sent me out for a sort of shotgun and a bottle of poison.
Ah, this is getting us no place. No clues, no suspects. And yet I am sure that a crime has been committed.
I agree with you, Hummer. There's something afoot. What do we do, Hummer?
We'll question the widow, Throckmorton.
Gazooks, what a brain. Never leaves a dame unturned.
And here comes Miss Throckmorton now.
Hello, tall, curly, and nasal. Glad you could come up and see the body.
Tell me, are you thinking, Hummer?
Yes, but back to business. Widow Throckmorton, allow me to introduce myself. I am the Hummer, tracker of men.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Mrs. Throckmorton, there's probably nothing to be alarmed about. But we have found your husband extremely dead. With an ice pick in his back. Mrs. Throckmorton, do you realize what I'm saying? Your husband has been cruelly murdered.
Eek.
Mrs. Throckmorton, I hope you don't mind if we interrogate you.
No, I'd love it.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Throckmorton, before you married your husband, what did you do for a living?
I was a chorus girl. I was known as Ice Pick Nellie.
And why did they call you Ice Pick Nellie?
Oh, I don't know. Just a nickname.
Nothing but blind alleys.
Oh, butler,
you are calling me...
Who are you?
The butler.
Oh, yes, I never forget a face. Tell me, do you know who killed your master?
Nash.
You do? Well, tell us.
You think I'm a tattletale?
Butler. You mean...
I'm dummying up.
There's something suspicious about this whole thing. It gets bafflinger and bafflinger.
I've got it. I think I know we can find a clue.
Where can we find a clue, Hummer?
At Yale University.
Why, of course. It's obvious.
Shall we go? As the last rose of summer said to the other last rose of summer, leave us wither away.
Okay, leave us wither away.
Friends, if you want to wither away, eat at Duffy's Tavern. And, and be sure to try our steaks. The club steaks are personally clubbed by the manager. And now, back to our story.
And so we arrived at Yale University, where the Hummer came face to face with his old dean. The dean spoke.
How do you do?
A dizzy dean.
Dean, I regret to report that old Throckmorton, class of 1861, has been seriously murdered.
You don't mean...
Yes, Dean, but he was a true Yale man to the end. He died with his derby and his raccoon coat on.
For Throckmorton. At last he had made skull and bones.
Tell me, what happened to him?
An ice pick in the back. And Dean, we thought you might know who killed him.
I'll tell you who killed him. It was... Ooh, I'm dummying up.
And so, once again, history repeated itself. The Hummer learned nothing at Yale. So we continued our search for clues from one end of the globe to the other. India, New Zealand,
Hialeah. Asia Minor, Far Rockaway.
Hialeah.
We even went to Antwerp and talked to the twit. It was in Antwerp that we discovered that the ice pick was manufactured in Norway. This meant only one thing. Argentina. While we were sitting in a cafe in Argentina, a few strolling pampers came in and began to sing an old opera tune. Howard, an old opera tune.
Friends, I'd like to take this opera tune moment to tell you about the drinks at Duffy's Tavern. Remember, a drink at Duffy's is good for your stomach. Ask the man who had one. Now, back to our play.
And so we continued our search. From Stockholm to Oslo. From the Skagerrak to the Kattegat. Then, suddenly, the Hummer started humming. This could only mean one thing. Scotland. The next morning, we found ourselves in the heart of Scotland. Scotland Yard itself. We were greeted by Inspector McIntyre.
How do you, Hootman?
You are a Scotsman?
In this guy, do you think I'm playing Little Eva?
Oh, I'm sorry, Inspector. We have no time for frivolities. We're looking for clues.
Well, you got a bro, brech, mulech, necht, necht, drukht, recht. What sort of clues, Hootman, are you looking for?
Inspector, we're looking for the cat who murdered a Yale man in his old raccoon coat.
Was this Yale man wearing a derby hood?
Aye.
Is he having an ice pick in his back?
Aye. Do you ken anything about the case?
I'm dumbing up.
And so the search went on. We left Scotland and sailed for Juneau, Alaska.
Juneau? About the food at Duffy's Tavern? Just ask the man who's been there. He'll tell you where to go.
Thank you, Alan. And we continue. After many months of fruitless search, we returned to America and the Throckmorton mansion. The butler spoke.
How do you? Hey, it's you again.
This man is deeply familiar. Archie, who is he?
Hummer, don't you remember it's Rasputin, the butler?
Oh, yes. I never forget a face.
Rasputin, is there any new clues?
Only one. Yesterday we had some highballs, and we had to use the ice pick. But don't worry. We stuck it right back into Mr. Throckmorton.
Just a second.
Quiet, everybody. The Hummer is thinking. There may be a solution to this crime yet.
Europa, the solution. I have it.
What is it, Hummer?
Archie, take the corpse's fingerprints.
Okay. Wait. Hummer, the corpse has no fingers. Only claws. What does this mean?
Archie, remove his derby hat. Yank out the ice pick and tell me what you see.
Gazoops, it ain't a Yale man at all. It's only a polar bear rug. Hummer, does this mean...
Yes. There is no Mr. Throckmorton. There is no body.
You mean...
It was a perfect crime that was never committed.
Hummer, you're a genius. Well, Rudy, tell me, what'd you think of it as a radio play?
What do I think of it?
Yeah.
Rudy, no. Rudy, stop humming at me that way. I know what you're thinking. Rudy, put down that ice pick.